You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
There we go. Right. How on earth are you doing? You just arrived in Paris, you're saying?
Yeah. Hold on just a second. Sorry, I got to send that. Okay, cool. Yeah, just got into Paris. Because we have the show. We have a day off today, but we'll have the show tomorrow night.
And how's the tour been?
It's been fun. It's Europe is always it's a bit more stressful and kind of grueling than the US for us. Just given, the logistics are a little bit more difficult, and just we're not from here, so it's not a familiar place. But yeah, it's always fun. It's a fun challenge to try to do the show kind of in a different environment and different types of production environments than we're used to.
I wanted to talk about Infinite Health, if I may, your most recent album. You said, I believe, it marks a fourth era for you, or for Tycho. Why is that?
I mean, I think just, the early era before the band, I was just kind of that kind of felt like its own kind of thing. And then the trilogy of albums with Dive, Awaken, Epoch definitely felt like there was a very specific vision and kind of I was on this very particular path. And then Weather with the vocals and simulcast felt like one era. But, I feel like that was maybe going to be something else. And then, COVID kind of put a period on the end of that sentence. And it felt like that, that kind of was when I stopped and thought about kind of what I wanted my life to be about and where I'd been and where I was going and all that stuff, which, I'm sure it was a pretty common experience in those years. So I kind of took a break from music and touring and started a family, a lot of things like that. So this is the first album back after that. And it just felt, sonically and kind of conceptually for me, the reason I was making music or the way I was going about it felt different with this album and given the years and the perspective and all that. So yeah, I'm not sure where that leads. I have some pretty specific ideas about what I want the next albums to be like. So I think it'll kind of be a continuation of this album.
Well, congratulations on starting a family.
Thank you.
As someone who's a father myself, I wondered, has it changed your relationship to music in any way?
Yeah, that was something I definitely thought a lot about. I think, my relationship to music and work and career and just all those things, obviously, that's always changing as you have been doing something longer and you're growing older and getting perspective or whatever. But I think it's really hard to say. It's definitely changed the way my relationship with it, just fun, on a basic, just the amount of hours you have and when you have those hours to do the job. So I think that's kind of cool. It's acted as this sort of built-in limiter, whereas I think I used to push kind of too hard or like overdo things or just work too long and kind of burn myself out and maybe spin my wheels on a problem that didn't necessarily warrant spinning wheels. Whereas now I think it's like, no, you have this time to work and then you're going to take a break and then you're going to come back to it with a fresh head. So I think that's been nice. But yeah, it's impossible to decouple the sort of like age and the amount of years I've been doing it from the family experience. But it's certainly been an inspiring experience for me as like a human being, just like a person. Like, though, I gotta imagine that finds its way back into the music on some level.
It's funny because I find sometimes like that not having so much time kind of helps, because in a way it doesn't really help having like, 12 hours to go back over something. It kind of helps if you're like, right, I got 15 minutes, 15 minutes more, and yeah, That's it.
Yeah, I wonder, I think that is great if you have the skills or the ability to make something, compelling happen within that time frame. I worry, a lot of my work and the breakthroughs I've made in the past where I can look back and be like, that song's special, that's, whatever. It's hard to say, some of them were these momentary kind of like moment of inspiration and they happened very quick, like Awake. A lot of the stuff on Awake had to happen quickly and it did. But then, I look at Dive and that was the product of 6 years of just like constantly iterating and going back and questioning everything and refining and all these things. Because, I was working a day job and I thought like I had, it just was like this open-ended time schedule. I wasn't like, music wasn't my career. So I don't know how that all fits together. But yeah, sometimes I wonder if like all that just open-ended, like endless time kind of helped to be able to go back and really like craft this sort of tapestry of sound type situation. Whereas now it's like they have to be these like very focused ideas, and you really kind of have to do them within a time frame. That being said, I did have, because I took kind of the break from touring, I had so much time to kind of think about what I wanted this album to be and to spend a lot of time on those songs. So yeah, I don't know if that's kind of meandering, but I don't know that I have an answer to that. But you know, I think there's two sides to that, and I think equally compelling content can come out of either of those kind of methodologies. But being not having the choice is kind of, there's comfort in that, just knowing like, well, this is what you got and this is what you're working with. And I definitely feel like I'm in a healthier spot mentally and physically than I was during those other years. I felt like I really kind of leaned pretty heavily on myself physically and mentally, and probably took a little bit too much, you know, gave a little bit too much to the thing, or at least more than I am able or willing to at this stage of my life.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, is that sort of where the title Infinite Health comes from? Is it
You
related?
know, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for me, I think, you know, obviously at this stage in everybody's life, you kind of have to like decide, like, do you want, I think if music, and maybe it's just my perception of it, but I think in general in the music community and the music industry, there's this sort of like, you know, there's a cult of youth, and there's the sort of like just burn it at both ends and like do great things and be strung out and all these, you know, whatever, all these like old rock and roll cliches that you kind of learn growing up, and you start to be like, well, wait a minute, like I've been doing this a long time and I'm getting older, and like what is this supposed to be like, and do you want to keep doing this for a long time, and do you want to be productive, and do you want this to be sustainable, and you kind of have to make that decision. And I came to the conclusion that I do want to keep doing this thing, and I want this to be sustainable, I want to be healthy, I want to be around for my kids, all those things. So like I think for me it was more like a kind of a mantra, like this is how things need to be going forward, like this has to be done, kind of you have to go about this in a different way if you want to be able to be doing this for a while. And yeah, you know, I think you just have to make a decision at a certain point in your life to kind of grow up and put away the childish things and kind of focus on your craft and give, you know, you can't give yourself to your craft if there's nothing left, you know, if there's nothing there of your kind of mind and body, if there's nothing left after all those years. So I think it's just about the way that I look at this and go forward into the future.
Does the title also have something to do with fear and loathing? I think I read somewhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, not the title particularly, but just kind of like the idea of like looking back at this, you know, it's just crazy that the time, I don't know, like my career, what I think of is like the kind of the most probably fulfilling years of my career. It's just it felt like this just like lucid dream, and then it was just gone, you know. And it's like, wow, like all those years went by, and here I am, and I'm just kind of like looking back at this wave that kind of crested, and of just, you know, in general of like the kinds of music that I liked, or at least the kinds of music that resonated with me during this time in my life where all these incredible things were happening. So you know, they really became part of that experience for me, and yeah, so it's like trying to make sense of those experiences, and that realizing that was kind of like this moment in time, and just trying to figure out what that means to you for the future. I think there's part of that, and that, you know, there's just that scene in Fear and Loathing where you know, he's sitting typing at that in that hotel room, and just kind of like looking out the window and thinking about the kind of peace and love era of the 60s had passed, and what that meant in the sort of cynical 70s. You know, that just always really resonated with me.
Because I think you also said the album is about hope for the future and a requiem for the past. Obviously, these aren't the most easy of times we're living in. I mean, what gives you hope for the future?
I mean, my kids, you know, the youth, just kids in general, and the idea, you know, because that was something we really considered pretty, you know, thoroughly. Not that we came up with like the right answer necessarily, but you know, do you bring kids into this world? And that just felt like such a cynical way of looking at things. And I thought back to growing up in the 80s and like, you know, the fear, the Cold War, and the fear of you know, nuclear weapons, and you know, doing duck and cover under your desk. And it's like, you know, and you know, we had it way better than our parents had it. You know, my parents' generation, they truly had like this existential dread, like every day of their lives, you know, if they let it get a hold of them, and they had good reason for it, you know. And but I think every generation has its sort of it's things to grapple with. Like it's the fear. And they, I feel like, you know, obviously the media is built around telling us what we're supposed to fear at any given time. And that's not to diminish, you know, the things that I think are facing society and the world and all that stuff. But I think ultimately the decision was to sort of kind of try to see the future in a positive light and realize that humans are resilient and they're problem solvers. And I just have to have faith that the world that my kids will live in when they're my age is going to be a better place than the one I live in now. That's all you can hope. And you can just try to be positive and act as if act as if you believe that, and then that's true. And I think that's kind of what it's about for me.
If it's any help, we've definitely had the same conversation. So yeah.
Yeah. It's so sad we had to have that conversation, but I mean, I don't know, were people in the 50s, I got to imagine in the 60s, maybe we're having that same conversation about their kids. Maybe it's just every generation. And then 100 years before that, they're like, should we have kids? Can we even feed them? You know, is there going to be food next year? So I think it's, you know, we're living clearly in better times than ever in most ways. But yeah, you have this sort of the environmental concerns are the kind of the big thing on the horizon, it feels like, or not even on the horizon anymore.
Talking about the new album, again, you said that it focuses, and hate to quote things back to you, but on breaks, drums, and rhythmic elements. Why did you feel like doing that?
Yeah, you know, I think that was where I started out. You know, I loved like DJ Shadow and Ronnie Size and LTJ Bookham and Fotech, and like those were like the artists that before I made music in the 90s, that was what made me be like, I want to know how these people did this, like how this music was made. Because it was just so different from the stuff I'd grown up on. So yeah, I think that's what really inspired Dive. And like, you know, everything was kind of beat forward. Like, you know, I was thinking about the beat and the rhythm and the drums more. And then with the band stuff, I wanted to capture the live element. So it's like a lot of like live drums, Rory drumming, which I think is incredible. And actually kind of my vision for the next album is going to get back to that. But I think I just sort of wanted to get back to my roots as a producer and see where that led is kind of thinking about the drums being a more kind of central, or, you know, not a central element, because I think Rory's drumming is so incredible that it becomes its own, it comes to the fore. But I think for me, I wanted to do the kind of bedroom producer thing or set out to kind of make an album that felt like that with this record.
I absolutely love Fotech as well. I could
oh, nice.
Spot for ages. Do you have a particular favorite song? I mean, I know this is kind of unfair to spring.
Yeah, my favorite. I mean, I think one of my favorite songs of all time, especially electronic songs of all time, is Rings Around Saturn, which it used to be called Pharaoh, but they when it was on. That's what's weird is it's so interesting. You know, Logical Progression, which is all, you know, now it's called like Logical Progression 1 or something like that because they made more. But the first one, I'm not sure how different it is, but there's like three songs it seems like are missing. And that one in particular, there was a song called Pharaoh. And then I think they lost the license. It was probably a limited term license. And then, or at least once it got to streaming, it didn't have it. And then I think because it uses that Pharaoh Sanders sample was why it was called that. And then I think they probably changed it to Rings Around Saturn because for some copyright issue, they didn't want to like draw attention. I have no idea, but that's what I'm imagining. That's just interesting to see the progression of that. But, and then Trianon, was the other, those two Fotech songs were like his foray into that sort of like atmospheric kind of organic drum and bass stuff. Like I love Niten Ichi Ryu or whatever, you know, like all the hidden camera stuff. I love that stuff, but it doesn't, like it hasn't stuck with it. That seemed more like an experiment and like a proof of concept, like look how amazing I can do this really cool thing. Whereas those other ones really felt like musically and emotionally moving to me. So yeah, definitely Rings Around Saturn.
I couldn't agree more. So I was looking at sort of what the Tycho Reddit was saying about the new record, and one user said, it feels like you're in a forest surrounded by the color green. What do you think about that?
That's crazy. I mean, like that was kind of the idea behind the album art, is like to really capture green in the song called Green. Like that, I'm wondering, you know, I'm sure those things kind of have a way of influencing people's perceptions of things, but I wonder if in a vacuum, you know, if you removed all the song titles and the name and the green, you know, the health for me, that's always kind of had like a green connotation. So like, I wonder if you just remove those and you played those songs for someone, if they'd still kind of feel that. I would hope so. But yeah, for me, that all those songs, particularly DX Odyssey and Green, feel like they just, to me, they're kind of like channeling the idea and the energy of the color green.
How did you end up working with Cautious Clay on the record?
I've just always been a fan, and I met him at a festival when he came through San Francisco for Outside Lands, and we just kind of stayed in touch, and it just kind of finally aligned somewhere leading up to this album. And yeah, that ended up being a really cool experiment, because we kind of did it in reverse, whereas like with Weather, I started out with the vote, like I made the songs to be vocal songs. We made the vocal versions, and then I went back and reimagined them as instrumentals. Whereas we did this backwards, like I did the instrumental version with just kind of like, you know, chopped up samples of his voice, like kind of minimally represented in the album version. And then we did the true kind of more like vocal forward version for the single, for the maxi single.
You know, I thought that was very interesting. I was going to ask, maybe you just kind of answered it, but how did you, because I think you say in the description for the single that the vocal was an instrumental layer. Sorry, yeah, on the album version, I mean. And obviously on the single, this got like a kind of full-on vocal. How did that happen? Were you sort of making the tune, you had it in the back of your mind that you wanted to do two straight away? Because it's quite a sort of strong decision to take someone's vocal and use it as an instrumental layer, right?
Well, yeah. So like at that time, when I was talking to him, I'm like, oh man, like you don't even have to like write, just sing, give me some ad libs, some outtakes, like just anything that I can use to start to like craft like a, you know, like a layer, like a texture, you know, almost just like oohs and ahs, is what I was basically asking. But I was like, if you want to try doing a verse type thing, you know, verse chorus thing, you know, throw that in there too, and we can just kind of chop it up and see what happens. Because I knew for this album, I wanted to keep this album most, you know, for the most part, an instrumental album. I didn't want anything that poked out like, here's a bunch of instrumental tracks and then all of a sudden like this verse chorus song. So yeah, he sent me that, but immediately I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like we have to take this and turn this into a full song eventually. But I knew for that, within the context of the album, I wanted it to be the more kind of stripped back thing. So but even for the album, the vocals that did end up on the album version were more than I was envisioning. They were, you know, they're more literal, like he's actually saying words and not just like kind of doing breaths and kind of oohs and ahs. So yeah, in that respect, it was more more vocal than I expected, but I think it still fits in the pocket of the album, and then, you know, having the full vocal one later was cool.
Is it sort of quite difficult in a way to have that conversation that you know, to say to someone, look, you've done this vocal, and it's absolutely great, but what I want is to sort of use it as a layer, basically.
Well, I mean, you know, I talked to him, but he's super chill, and he was just, you know, pretty much down for whatever. He was like, yeah, that sounds cool. So, I mean, that was kind of how I represented this was going to be in general. And then by the time we were talking about it, we already had the plan to come out with that maxi single version later, or, you know, the full vocal version later. So, you know, I think we both decided, like, I think it's cooler to have this version, this album thing be this really minimal thing. And it just kind of like comes out of nowhere and then goes away.
The new album as well is quite sort of compact, I find. I think it's 9 songs, 33 minutes, which is a very nice kind of time, I think. Was that like a conscious decision?
Yeah, I think, you know, Awake always appealed to me in its kind of like digestibility, and, you know, it's I think it's almost the same amount of time, and maybe even, I don't know, it might be one less track or something. But yeah, I think, I mean, you know, there's obviously a whole conversation to be had about, you know, people's attention spans and like the expectations that people have or what they want out of music or how they're going to consume it, no matter how you present it. So, you know, I think there is a sense that the album art form is sort of not, it doesn't have the weight that it once did, or, you know, doesn't have the audience that it once did, just maybe people don't have the attention spans. Maybe it's just the way it's being presented to them because they have this choice of like a million songs and creating these playlists and creating their own orders, which, you know, is cool in its own way. So I think that probably has some kind of subconscious influence on it. But I think of Tycho as like an album based project. So like I will always make albums, and that's just like the art form I enjoy. But yeah, so with this album particularly though, there was two albums of material, and I just kept putting things in these kind of like bins, like, okay, this sounds like this is part of this group of songs and this one. And by the end, that album, I had kind of had to decide which album I wanted to put out first. And this felt like the more kind of like different than before, like a little bit, it had some interesting kind of like unique element to it, whereas like the other one felt very like more kind of like dive era stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna get that out, but that's kind of why it ended up being less songs is it was eaten. Once I had those two groups of songs and I realized I wanted to put them both out, it was much easier to pull stuff off of Infinite Health and be like, actually this belongs over here and let's keep this tight and concise.
It's interesting because I think some people maybe would have put out the first record of the two as the more normal one, if you see what I mean. But you definitely the one that was more like what you've done before. But you definitely didn't. You wanted to go with something different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it depends on who you ask. I mean, maybe most people would listen to this album and be like, sounds like all the other stuff. But yeah, I mean, if you're, I think if you're like a fan and you've been paying attention, I think there's some elements here that you'd be like, oh, okay, like that's a different look. I think for me, it was like, we had been away for a while and the last album was definitely very different than the stuff that had come before it. So like, I don't know. I didn't want to kind of be like immediately, like here's immediately right back to like the old stuff. So I didn't want to be too similar to the past, but you know, I think there's a lot of cues and kind of elements in this album that feel familiar. So I think there's enough to grab on there and then, yeah, the next one, but you know, the other thing is you always kind of have this fear, or, you know, I do at least, this worry that you're just retreading the past. So as an artist, like, I don't, you know, the first statement that I made in however many years, I didn't want it to kind of feel like it was too looking backwards too much. I wanted to at least feel like it felt like some kind of step in a new direction. And I think ultimately that's why I decided this was the one to put out. That being said, the other one, maybe in hindsight, you know, once that's out, maybe it'll feel like that was more forward thinking or something. You know, you never know until it's kind of out there and people, you get a sense of how people perceived it.
I find this interesting. I mean, are you a good judge of your own music? Like, do you, because you know, you get those times where musicians are like, they make a song, they're gonna reject it, and someone's like, no, that's quite good, and it becomes like the biggest song in the world. Like, I wonder sometimes if like, because you're so close to it, it's hard to judge. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I will say that there was a time in my life where I felt like I knew, I felt like I was right, like that I had absolute truth inside my head, at least for what this album needed to be and what these songs needed to sound like and all this. It was just like, it was an absolute, and nobody could tell me anything otherwise, you know? And I think that's like that's probably a hard place to get back to. That kind of feels like, I don't know how to explain it, but you know, you can only like kind of make your sound for the first time once and like know what it is. And I just had this like this thing that was just burning a hole in my brain, like, you've got to do this and it's got to sound like this. And you know, there's so few questions and there's this comfort in like that. And I think as time has gone on and you've done these things, you start to be like, okay, well, what's next, you know? And yeah, that's when you start to second guess, like, do I understand what my own music, like, was I just being, you know, were those years just like ignorance is bliss or whatever, like you thought you knew but you really didn't, and you were just kind of, that's why it was like this kind of flow state sort of you know, you just weren't thinking, it was like a subconscious experience. And so yeah, I don't know, that's going all over the place, but yes, I think that's one of the toughest parts later in your career, when you've kind of been through all these phases and you've done a lot of the things that you set out to do. It's like, well, what's next? And how do I know that this music is that, you know? And then also, I think just all these years of hearing feedback from people and how people, you know, whether, I don't know how healthy that is, like the direct connection between artists and the people consume the music on social media. You know, you're inundated with like everybody's opinion about your work, and like, you know, good or bad, I don't think it's necessarily constructive. Like, because when people tell you you're great or this song is great, then you're like, oh, well, that's what people want. It's like, no, that's what that one person that day on social media had to say. And then when they say it's terrible, you know, like I beat myself up a lot over songs that I now have come around to like appreciating. But like, I thought they're, you know, I was like, oh, those must be horrible because five people on YouTube said this song sucked. So it's like, it's just, you know, I think that, and, you know, maybe I'm just the type of person who, you know, I know there's type people who are stronger, people who like are more kind of sure of their vision, who probably aren't affected in that way or just don't indulge themselves in that process of like listening to all these people online. So I don't know. Yeah, it's all wrapped up in this kind of weird kind of thing where like, should you listen to yourself? Should you listen to other people? And do they maybe have insight about your music that you don't, because yeah, you're too close to it maybe.
The last time we spoke, we have spoken once before, and it was the day before the release of Simulcast. So
oh yeah, yeah.
2020, which was quite an unusual record for anyone that doesn't know. It, you know, reworks the vocal tracks from your previous album, vocals removed, instrumentation expanded on. What was the reaction like to that record?
Yeah, that was a strange one. And I, you know, like thinking back about that, I don't really know. It didn't, you know, it was COVID. We didn't tour it and we just kind of didn't get its due. Like it didn't get the moment that Weather had, obviously. And I think, yeah, it feels like kind of a lost release in a way. Like I don't feel, you know, maybe just the music didn't resonate. That's always like the first option, but it definitely felt like it kind of got, lost to that era and that period and just everything that was going on and the fact that we didn't, you know, we weren't touring and we weren't out promoting it. And that comes back down to a thing is like, I always wonder about like the connection between touring and albums. Like, you know, it seems that there's this sense that you kind of have to go play shows and like put yourself out there. And so, you know, even if it's not people didn't go to the show, they saw it on social media and they're like, oh yeah, this band, I haven't listened to them a while. I'm gonna see what they're up to. I think there's something to that. And I think, you know, an album that just gets put out and that's it. That's kind of the danger, is that it can kind of get lost to that. But yeah, I love those songs, a lot of those songs. And I hope that the people that, you know, would like those songs I hope they were exposed to the music and it's not just that they didn't know it came out or something.
Talking of touring, you're playing Barcelona on Wednesday, March the 26th, which is almost exactly 5 years after your previous gig here. Do you remember that gig at all? I mean, I know 5 years have passed, we've had COVID and everything, but do you remember your last Barcelona gig?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, especially because we were on our way, if I remember correctly, we were on our way to Milan, which we were just there today. We just left Milan because we had a show there last night, and they closed down the border because they were having that. We were coming from like, you know, some, I don't know where we're coming from. So they canceled obviously the Italy shows. And so we had to go kind of like just figure out a place to stop and burn 4 days or whatever it was. And we went to Barcelona because that was the next show that it sounded like we were actually going to be able to play. So yeah, it was actually cool. Like, and strange, kind of an eerie feeling, but I was just sitting in Barcelona and the weather was beautiful. And yeah, I just remember hanging out in Barcelona for like 4 days, relaxing and then having that show. And then, you know, that was one of the last shows we ever played before that. I think London might've been the actual absolute last show. And then the whole world shut down.
I was going to say, I don't remember the exact timings, but yeah, March, if you were playing in like February, 2020, yeah, that's the last kick.
Yeah,
from you, I think.
I don't. I'm really bad with remembering all the specifics. But as I recall, I mean, that was it. That was the outbreak was happening in Italy, and nobody really knew what it was. And the States was sort of, you know, it wasn't happening there yet. Because I remember we got home from that tour, and the United States was pretty much business as usual. And then I remember pretty soon after is when people started getting sick there. So like, I think it was all kind of tied up in that moment. But yeah, that's the crazy part, is I got really sick over there and ended up in the hospital with a lung infection, and I never knew what it was because they didn't know what COVID was. But I'm pretty sure that's what I had. Everybody on the bus had it. But like, yeah, we were like right in the middle of that whole thing. It was crazy.
Well, look, thank you so much for taking the time today. It's nice to look back on COVID and not have well, it still exists, you know what I mean. But
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking about that time. And yeah.
Strange times, yeah. It's been a crazy, crazy run of years here. But yeah, it definitely feels like we're on the other side of it, at least from touring. You know, it's like it used to be like you start coughing and you're like, oh, tours, we might tour. You might be financially ruined because you have a cold. And then now it's like, okay, like it's going to suck, but like it's, you know, we the tours aren't getting canceled anymore. That, I mean, I think that was the scariest part, being any musicians, like your whole business is a one bad tour where you have to cancel and you will have all that money invested can literally ruin you for years. So that was a scary time for sure.
Rather infinite health than.
yeah, totally, totally.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.